Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This is the station Wichita turns to first for live team coverage of breaking news. KNSS, Wichita's number one news, talk, and weather station. Depend on it.
Good morning, 7 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Toddler injured when firework sets her thrower on fire. We've got the story.
A look at fireworks-related blazes on the 4th. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
The Senate remains on Independence Day recess, but at home, Republican senators are working to get more of its party on board with their plan to repeal and replace Obamacare. I'm ABC's Mark Remillard with more on that coming up.
I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday. Yesterday, we got to 89 for the high in Wichita. Today and tomorrow may be our warmest days of the week. We'll tell you how warm in our forecast coming up.
A young girl was injured when a firework landed in her stroller, setting it on fire Tuesday night on West 82nd Street, south of Wichita. The 15-month-old girl suffered serious injuries in the fire. The child's mother and father and 5-year-old sister were also burned as they attempted to put out the blaze. Sedgwick County Sheriff's deputy said that a projectile from across the street struck the stroller and started the blaze. The mother and sister were hospitalized with minor injuries. Family members say the toddler will need to undergo a skin graft on her elbow.
A man died in a house fire in southeast Wichita. Acting Fire Marshal Stuart Bevis says it happened on the morning of Independence Day north of Edgemore and Lincoln. He says it was an excessive storage situation. Hoarding conditions in the home made the firefighting much more difficult. Bevis says crews had to basically cut the whole back wall off the back of the house to get inside.
It can become a very significant issue because it's an incredible fuel load. It's a collapse issue. It makes it not just for us to get in there, but once we're in there, you don't have, it's like fighting fire on quicksand that's burning.
That fire caused $70,000 in damage. 3 firefighters suffered injuries, including one requiring stitches. The victims were a man in his 60s, along with a German Shepherd.
And the fire department responded to 4 fireworks-related fires on Independence Day and the following morning in Wichita. Acting Fire Marshal Bevis says the worst of those was after midnight on Wednesday on Mars Street, west of Douglas and Mays.
We had a garage fire. It started on the exterior and spread into the attic. It actually ended up collapsing the roof of the garage.
Trash cans with disposed fireworks were found in the area. That fire caused $80,000 in damage, and the Red Cross was called in to assist the family at that location.
A man died after he was crushed during an accident in northeast Wichita, east of 13th and Hillside.
They were there to do some work. He was behind the van, and the van rolled backwards, which trap pinned him underneath the van, and he was succumbed to his injuries as well.
Police officer Charlie Davidson says that incident occurred Monday morning on Lavon Street. That's near 13th and Roosevelt.
A man died in a traffic accident Sunday afternoon in northwest Wichita in the 2600 block of North Amadon. Police officer Charlie Davidson says a man was driving a pickup truck eastbound on 26th Street. The man's 16-year-old grandson was a passenger.
The 72-year-old male stopped at Amadon and proceeded across the intersection when the vehicle was struck by a maroon Ford pickup traveling southbound on Amadon and was being driven by a 21-year-old male.
The teenager and his grandfather were hospitalized. The grandfather died from his injuries. He is identified as 72-year-old James McDaniel of Wichita. 14 people have died this year in Wichita traffic.
The congressman seriously injured in a shooting last month in Virginia is back in the hospital.
Republican Congressman Steve Scalise of Louisiana was seriously injured June 14th when he was shot in the hip during practice for a congressional baseball game. One of 5 people shot by James Hodgkinson.
We have another one down. We have a total of 5 down.
Emergency audio from that day from Broadcastify, but after weeks of improvement, Scalise, the House Majority Whip, has been readmitted to the intensive care unit at MedStar Washington Hospital Center in serious condition. It's because of infection fears, according to a hospital statement. Brian Clark, ABC News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:04, 4 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Extra baseball in Seattle last night. The Royals and the Mariners going to extra innings. How did that wind up? Well, we'll have details and highlights coming up in sports.
And a look at stupid behavior in the workplace. That story coming up on the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. The KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted now, 7:08, 8 minutes past 7 o'clock. Fire crews in Summit County, Colorado are battling a wildfire that exploded in size since igniting Wednesday morning near the town of Breckenridge. Helicopters have been doing water bucket drops, air tankers dropping retardant. Ranger Bill Jackson says a number of agencies have been called in to help.
A hotshot crew in there, it's an interagency hotshot crew. Out of Utah, the Lone Peak Interagency Hotshot Crew. We have 8 smoke jumpers on the fire, and they're out of Boise, Idaho.
Republican leaders in the Senate are working to get more of their party and constituents on board with the GOP plan to repeal Obamacare.
At a veteran health forum in McKinney, Texas, Wednesday night, Republican Senator Ted Cruz discussed the GOP's unpopular plan to repeal and replace Obamacare. First, Cruz says Republicans need to honor their promise to repeal the Affordable Care Act. Then,
number two, I think the most important focus is on lowering premiums.
Cruz's appearance was met with protesters outside the event sounding off on the GOP plan. Cruz says he's not certain Republicans can get the votes needed, but says he's hopeful. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
What happens in Vegas may stay in Vegas, but the author of the book, Work, showing up at other matters, wants you to know your job is not Vegas.
Richard Moran says people do a lot of stupid things on the job that they don't believe are going to come back to haunt them. The president of Menlo College says it's so common he calls it the Vegas mentality. Some things are obvious, like telling a racist joke at work. Others, not so much.
Dressing up for the Halloween party. There you are on video as dressed up as a bumblebee or a French maid. Those are things that can show up later and be a label that you don't want to have.
And if you think you're different, Moran says, guess what? You aren't, and it will catch up with you. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:10, 10 minutes past 7 o'clock.
This morning, the gasoline prices are going up. That's the big thing in traffic out there right now. Gasoline prices going from, we were at $1.95, $1.96 a gallon, but we're up to $2.09 a gallon in Wichita this morning. Traffic update from KNSS Radio. I'm Jad Chambers.
And now the KNSS Storm Tracker 3 forecast with Kansas Today meteorologist Leon Smitherman. Good morning, Leon.
Hey, good morning, Steve. How are you doing on this Thursday?
You're doing just fine. It looks like we're going to get into a little bit of a pattern here for the next 24 or 48. That doesn't include massive hail, wind at 100 miles per hour, or anything like that, huh?
Imagine that for once. What a nice break.
Yeah.
Nice change of pace for us. You know, yesterday was beautiful. We're going to warm things up a little bit today. But like you said, no hamster-sized hail, no 100-mile-an-hour winds. So all in all, we're looking good. Temperatures into the low 90s today, though. We're back to 93, but sunshine, light wind, a little humidity. Kind of a nice July day for Kansas.
Well, and more tomorrow, but just pretty much the same, huh?
You know, I think tomorrow looks real nice for us. Most of the day on Friday should be pretty quiet. We'll warm things up to mid-90s on Friday. You know, Friday, we do have a front that's going to work through. It's not really impressive. I think maybe a few showers, maybe a rumble of thunder Friday night. And then Saturday, Sunday, we'll have some stray showers and storms. It's not a washout forecast by any means. The heat starts to rebuild next week, though. That's when we get back in the mid to upper 90 range. So next couple of days looks pretty nice. Like you said, a pattern that's not nasty.
And then more July-like temperatures coming up in the week ahead, though.
Yeah. Next week, we're back to the mid-90s. I think triple digits are not far off for our western counties. But we're going to start to heat things back up. Yesterday was, like I said, great. Enjoyed today. It still doesn't look too bad. Nothing really to complain about. I can't get too extreme about any of our days in the seven-day period.
All right. Thank you, Leon. Currently a fair sky, 68 degrees, calm, no wind out there. The KNSS Storm Tracker 3 forecast with Kansas Today meteorologist Leon Smitherman now. 7:12, 12 minutes past 7 o'clock. And we had another a police shooting in New York yesterday, and this is being called just an assassination. ABC News correspondent Aaron Katursky is with us live from New York. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. The police officer who was shot and killed was Miosotis Familia, 12 years on the force, and she was assigned to a mobile command RV-type vehicle that was stationed in a rather dangerous neighborhood in the Bronx, where there had been a lot of gang activity recently, and so this was meant to be a deterrent. She was known as a friendly officer, but someone with a stern demeanor who was there to help prevent gang activity from flourishing on the streets. She was sitting in this in the passenger side of this vehicle, filling out her memo book toward the end of her shift, when a man with a long rap sheet and a history of mental illness came up to the window and shot once in her head with a .38 caliber revolver. She died later at the hospital, and the suspect was chased and shot dead about a block away.
Is there anything, if she's there to discourage gang activity, but is this a gang-related event or not?
No, it doesn't seem to be. Rather, this is somebody who's been ranting on Facebook about the police, and as the police commissioner here put it, she was killed for her uniform. This was somebody that seemed to have a real grudge against police and against prisons, where he had been in and out of a couple of times over the last decade or so, and someone who was mentally ill. And it really struck a chord, especially as crime has really come down in New York City, record lows. But still, as the police commissioner said, it means nothing when one of your own is killed. And still that nagging question of how to best get mentally ill people the help they need is one that the city has not solved.
Yeah, well, that's a tough one. It sure is. But it's a shame somebody dies like this, a dedicated officer, and She never, never saw it coming, huh?
She could. There's no way she could have seen it coming. She was filling out her memo book. He walks up purposefully, according to police who have seen the surveillance video that captured it, and just opened fire once and took off. You can hear on the police radio, rather chillingly, her partner say, my partner's been shot. My partner's been shot," frantically calling for help. Officers descended on the scene, found the suspect. He pointed a gun at them, and that's when they unloaded on him, and he was killed. A bystander was hit in the gunfire. That bystander is going to be fine. Now the city is forced to mourn its first female officer killed on the line of duty since 9/11.
Wow. All right, Aaron. Hey, thanks for your coverage. We appreciate it. Our ABC News correspondent Aaron Katursky in New York. More and more police officers, but occasionally we're now getting some reports of them just being targeted because they are police officers, and that's just a sad, sad deal. 7:15 now, Steve and Ted here on Thursday morning, July 6th, 2017. Got a little bit warmer yesterday, the 89 for a high after an 83 on the 4th. Normal high for the date is about 92. We're going to be closer to that today, as you heard Leon Smitherman giving us a forecast just a moment ago. Ted, like to say a belated happy birthday to a friend of mine from school days and afterward. Joyce Huntsberger is having a birthday today. She was a classmate in high school and a cheerleader there, and I didn't know her well in high school, but we've gotten to know each other pretty well since because we work on the reunion committee. And every 5 years, we put together a reunion that rivals, you know, the biggest shows in Vegas as far as reunions are concerned. And her husband, Gary Huntsberger, who was a retired battalion fire chief, we made him an honorary class member. Even though he went to Southeast, we made him a class member at West. Just so, to keep him happy because he likes the simple things. He may be walking right now with his little earphones on and his podcast, or whatever, listening to Steve and Ted. He does that.
So,
happy birthday, Joyce.
I can't imagine anyone at Southeast ever being an honorary member of a class at Capon.
No, you wouldn't do that. But we're a little more open-minded about these things.
So why weren't you and Joyce friends in high school? Were you snobby?
Well, no, I think she would. In the times that I socialized around her, of course, I would pop a couple of jokes or something, and she kind of gave me that look like I was completely out to lunch. I don't think she understood the humor that comes.
Didn't get it. Maybe you were ahead of your time.
16, 17-year-old humor. But since then, I think she's discovered that I'm tolerable, that I'm harmless, and I need pity more than anything.
Yes, okay.
So anyway, happy birthday, Joyce. Hey, on this date in 1957, the Harry S. Truman Library was dedicated in Independence, Missouri. Did you realize?
60 years ago today.
Did you realize that's the first presidential library? I didn't know that. But
I guess I didn't know that either.
Of course, we've got Abilene, we've got Eisenhower's there, and the LBJ's is down in Austin.
We've got three of them in Texas.
Yeah, three now. Both Bushes.
Both Bushes
and Lyndon
and
Johnson.
LBJ. And I haven't been to any of the Texas ones.
I've been to LBJ's and Bushes.
I would love to hit those.
But I tell you what,
we've got
Hoover
up in Iowa. We've got several right here in our part of the country.
I think
the
Independence and Harry Truman is my favorite.
I've been there three times.
You can get a ticket and go through the house. Have you done that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I've been there at least, three times, too. Anyway, they dedicated that on this date in 1957. Huge day for my wife. On this date in 1964, the Beatles' first album, Hard Day's Night, had its first film. Hard Day's Night had its royal premiere at London's Pavilion Theater. The movie opened in the U.S. the next month. Of course, as you know, Shelley is a huge Beatles fan. And she can't wait for the McCartney concert coming up.
Yeah, 13 days away.
Yeah, she can't wait. She's just like a little puppy there, shivering, waiting. 7:18 now, Steve and Ted. It's sports time with Ted Woodward and the Kansas City Royals with a late game on the coast, as we say. Playing Seattle, right, Ted?
Yeah, in Seattle last night, taking on the Mariners. High-scoring game. Mariners put up a bunch of runs early. Then the Royals pitching was able to buckle down a little bit. The Royals and the Mariners took a 6-6 game into the 10th inning. But the Royals in the extra frame did not waste any time getting back on top. You heard the game last night. Royals-Mariners on KFH.
Here's the 0-1. Swing and a drive into deep right field. Going back is Haniger. It is gone! Salvador Perez to the opposite field. And the Royals, who have hit three home runs tonight, they have hit seven home runs in this series. They lead 8-6 in the 10th inning.
Royals would tack on one more run and won the game 9-6 in 10 innings. Their first three-game sweep in Seattle in 12 years. The Royals have won six of their last seven. They're now just a half game out of first place in the division. They are holding on to the number two wild card spot in the American League. The Royals' bullpen was fantastic last night. Five innings of work, scoreless work, only giving up one hit in those five innings. And Royals' third baseman Mike Moustakas hit his 25th home run of the year in that game, tied for the most home runs by an American League third baseman prior to the All-Star break ever. Moustakas continuing his tear. The Royals have an off day today as they travel to Los Angeles. Pro baseball at Lawrence Dumont Stadium last night with the first-place Wichita Wingnuts hosting the Winnipeg Gold Eyes. It did not get off to a good start for the Wingnuts. They were down 7-0 by the second inning. Could not come back. Winnipeg won the game 9-5, avoiding a sweep. Wichita's seven-game winning streak comes to an end. However, the Wingnuts still have the top record in the league. They still have an 11-game lead atop the South Division. It's an off day today for the Wingnuts as they will travel to South Dakota. Pro basketball, NBA Summer League action yesterday. The Orlando Magic in action, including former Kansas State Wildcat Wesley Iwundu, starting at forward for the Magic, getting 5 points, five rebounds, a couple of assists. Wesley Iwundu of K-State hoping to get a roster spot with Orlando. The Boston Celtics in action yesterday at the Summer League in Utah. Hutchinson Community College's Kadeem Allen had three rebounds and one assist for the Celtics. And former Kansas Jayhawk Landon Lucas, also playing for the Celtics, had 2 points, three rebounds, a couple of assists before fouling out. Both them trying to make the Celtics roster. In men's tennis, the Wichita Open continuing. The USTA making its third annual stop in Wichita. Singles play today includes matches in the round of 16, and we're down to the semifinals in doubles competition. That's all at Wichita State University. And in soccer yesterday in Northeast Wichita at the Stryker Complex, another win for FC Wichita, beating Sporting KC under 23. 4-2 was the final score. Another win for FC Wichita in soccer action. Sports with Stephen Ted, KNSS.
Ted, Neil Diamond's coming to Wichita.
Neil Diamond.
Yeah. Interest Bank Arena, Friday, July 15th, 8 p.m., the 50-year anniversary tour. And tickets are available at Select a Seat. However, guess what? Steve did have some tickets.
All right.
We're going to be giving those away. I'm not going to do it just now, but sometime this morning we'll
try
to give away a pair or two of tickets to go see Neil Diamond. You got to be listening right here with Steve and Ted. Some Twitter users prove to be ignorant when it comes to the Declaration of Independence. That story just ahead with Steve and Ted on KNSS.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.